Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you to hour number two of a Football Friday, live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Jerwin Airey, and I am Ben Stevens. Our charge each and every Football Friday is a preview of every single game on the Sunday slate around the National Football League, even if bye weeks are done, even if that means 13 games. We will hit on every single one. Some picks, some previews, and plenty of breakdowns in store over these next 2 hours. In the second half of this second hour, by the way, a Football Friday is never complete, Joe, without the services of Big Blue. Mike Blewett will be here as well on TEL across the Spiz Grizz Network on a Football Friday.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one here. I like this week 15 slate in the NFL is huge. And of course, we're ramping up. Bowls start next week there, Ben, not to mention a college football playoff. And yep, back to full slates of college basketball this weekend as well.
We've got the Army-Navy game for the 125th time on Saturday afternoon in Landover, Maryland. We have a bowl game tomorrow night as well at the FBS level in the Celebration Bowl between two FCS powerhouses from HBCUs in Jackson State and South Carolina State. Well, we have two really good FCS defenses on display. But, of course, we start here in this second hour with a Week 15 Sunday slate. We talked about the marquee matchups in that late afternoon window, kicking at 4:25 p.m. Eastern time. Plenty more still at 4:25 p.m. Eastern to look out here in this second hour. But, of course, Joe, in prime time, that should always be one of the best games on the slate for a Sunday. And it is on Sunday night in Seattle, a matchup in the Pacific Northwest between the Packers and the Seahawks. Huge implications in this game for both sides. Seattle trying to maintain its lead in the NFC West after a Rams victory on Thursday night against San Francisco. Green Bay trying to bolster its position in that wild card race within the NFC playoff standings. And as you see there, Joe, the Packers, a short road favorite in the Northwest on Sunday night.
Yeah, and I mean, the Packers have only lost to the Lions, the Vikings, and the Eagles so far this season, right? And the Seahawks, a lot of people think at home might be getting a little disrespected here, not being the favorite in what used to be, Ben, one of the best home field advantages in all of the NFL with the 12th man there. But boy, oh boy, it's a question is, we've seen the ups and downs of Geno Smith and this Seattle team, but they have been a different team after their bye week. Their last bye week there, the defense looked like it was in shambles. Geno Smith, you don't know which Geno Smith was showing up, but he has done a really good job of protecting the ball. He has also done, especially at home, they also have figured out the running game, which alleviates some of the pressure on Geno. Are you sold on this Packers defense or are you sold on this Seattle defense? I'm not sold on either, which is why I think points are coming in this game. I think it's a dead over in this one when it's all said and done. And we've seen a lot of overs from both these offenses, especially against people outside of their division.
Would completely agree, Joe, with that sentiment, thinking we get some points on Sunday night in primetime. Seattle had played five straight unders entering the game against the New York Jets to open up December. that game well over last week against Arizona, maybe expecting it under like we saw in the first meeting between the Cards and the Hawks. It went well over. Seattle picking off Kyler Murray twice in the opening quarter and immediately converting it into 14 points and two touchdowns. The Seahawks are in pole position currently within the NFC West because of this win streak. Four-game win streak for the Seahawks. They have won outright as an underdog in all four games. Green Bay is covered in three consecutive, despite only winning two of those. They have gone over in two of three, but not all because of the fault of the Packers. They have scored 30-plus in three consecutive games. Joe, I would agree. I think we see some points on Sunday night. Yep. I think it is a really good game. And the Mike McDonald defense that took a little bit of time for the Seahawks to adapt to has allowed 21 or less in this four-game win streak. We'll see if that continues against Jordan Love and Green Bay on Sunday night. Again, when you look at these two teams, highly impactful game in terms of that NFC playoff picture. Green Bay right now feels firmly in a wild card spot, but they're trying to pick where they want to be. And I would just say that if you want to take on maybe the NFC South champion, Green Bay is not going to win the NFC North, but they can keep pace with the Vikings perhaps to challenge for that top wild card spot, to be that 5 seed, to take on more than likely the NFC South champ. That would be, at this moment, the Buccaneers. And if you are the Seahawks, you are trying to hold on to a playoff spot and your divisional lead by just a half game in the NFC West.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this team earlier, Seattle, and the chance that they might be able to overtake the Rams here. I still liked the Packers, Ben. We talked about it before the season. I like the Packers with a really good shot, not only to take down the NFC North, but also take down that NFC title and represent, and that be the team that represents the NFC in the Super Bowl. And of course, that was always going to come down, we thought, to the Packers in Detroit once again. But my goodness, I mean, when you look at the Packers and the losses that they have had and who they have come against and the amount of margin of loss there, I mean, combined in those losses, Ben, it's still just 20 points. They are every bit as good as we thought they were going to be when the season started. It might be too late, obviously, to catch him for the NFC North title, but it ain't too late to jump on him to win the NFC and be representing them in the Super Bowl.
They will have a home game next Monday night against the Saints. We should expect that to be a win, as New Orleans will be with a backup quarterback more than likely for the remainder of this season. They'll have a road game against the Vikings that would be huge to determine seeding within that AFC playoff picture. And quickly, Joe, I do want to hit on that point. We showed the NFC playoff picture earlier. We showed those championship odds in that conference. It seems to be a two-team race. Detroit, the short favorite, plus 145, followed closely by Philadelphia, less than $2 back. A larger drop-off from second to third than from first to second. The Eagles to the Packers, plus 320 for the Birds, plus 750 for the Pack. Now, Green Bay did not win a game on Thursday night against the Lions last week, but I think they proved, Joe, to your point, they can compete with anybody around this conference. Is there some viable value in Green Bay winning the conference crown within the NFC this season?
Absolutely, Ben. I mean, I thought it was great value before the season started. And I think it's going to be great value here, even now at what, plus 750 here. The Packers are legit. The Vikings, obviously, we keep waiting for them to fall off, and they don't. But really, if it was anybody outside the Lions, it's the Packers for me, Ben.
Yeah. Interesting. Philadelphia's defense might have something to say, but I do hear the point. Joe, a really good one in Los Angeles on Sunday afternoon as well. Again, part of this marquee 4:25 p.m. Eastern window with huge playoff implications. We can discuss more on the other side, but the Bolts, a full field goal favorite against the Buccaneers on Sunday. 45.5 is the total. Tampa's won three straight, looking to charge and challenge the Chargers on Sunday afternoon.
Is this a good game, Ben? Because the injuries once again piling up for Tampa Bay. Winfield Jr. out in that secondary, which could be problematic. And now Bucky Irvin with back issues again. I don't know how good this game is going to be.
Some injuries on the other side for the Chargers as well. We shall discuss on the other side of the break up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The 4:25 p.m. Eastern time window for the Week 15 NFL Sunday slate is as good as you will find, but will it be a good game in L.A.? Based on injuries, the Bolts and the Bucks, two teams firmly in playoff spots. Tampa, now a lead once again in the NFC South, trying to win the division for a fourth consecutive season. The Chargers trying to hold on to a wild card spot within the AFC, an 8-5 mark at this moment. LA Joe, 3-point favorite for field goal at home on Sunday inside SoFi Stadium. We'll get to Joe Ranieri here in just a moment here on the early line. 46.5 is that total, by the way, for Sunday. Joe mentioned 45.5 is where the number is now. By the way, Joe mentioned the injuries that we will see for this game, or perhaps not see, as the guys will not be out there. Some injuries as well for the Chargers. Justin Herbert did not practice earlier this week. Limited participant for LA yesterday. Ladd McConkey trying to work his way back as well. Joe, if the injuries are there, and there are more injuries for the Bucs, their injury report right now reads like a novel. Who do you think ends up with a victory on Sunday in SoFi?
The team that does not turn the ball over, Ben. And I think Baker Mayfield has been outstanding this year. I don't think he's getting enough credit for having to overcome a lot of injuries, especially with a couple of his biggest weapons there and Godwin and Evans being out. But now you still got White running the ball, but, you know, not having Bucky Irving has been a huge part of this. It always seems that like they're taking two steps forward and three steps back. I think the crazy part about this, and you mentioned with the injuries, is that am I nuts to think that 45.5 is too low in this game, given the injuries that we have and given how we've seen the Chargers defense against competent offenses? I don't think this is going to be a 17-14 game, Ben. I think this is going to be a crazy shootout. And we already know Baker loves slinging it. He does have Evans and of course, he's got his tight end. He certainly has enough weapons, but I think this game is a crazy shootout. I would even look at team totals over in this one here, Ben.
The Chargers have played to the under in 9 of 13 games this year. They want to establish the run, which drains the clock. We do understand that. But where the Bucs are at fault is actually not up front defensively, losing Antoine Winfield Jr., who was placed on injured reserve. Mm-hmm. That is never a good thing for Tampa. Early in the day, still some good games, kicking at 1 p.m. Eastern time, like this big one in the AFC in Houston. The Texans will host the Dolphins. The Texans fresh off a bye. They are still a team, Joe, in pole position within the AFC South. They are the only team, in fact, in this division with a winning record. They are 8-5. The Dolphins have some life in that AFC wild card race. They have won 4 of their last 5. They need to keep stacking up wins. They are 6-7. Not a great spot for either team. And what I mean by that is the trend perspective based on the number. The Texans just a 2.5-point favorite. Well, with C.J. Stroud as their starting quarterback, Houston as the favored side, since the beginning of last year, just 6-10-2 against the spread. Miami as an underdog with Mike McDaniel as its head coach, 8-12 ATS. But more importantly, Joe, especially with the number less than a field goal, 4-16 straight up. Can the Dolphins finally win a game outright as an underdog?
No. Well, they might. But I'll tell you this, Ben, they're not winning it in the first half. If it ain't broke, let's not fix it here. We all know the C.J. Stroud issues and his Texans issues. They have come in the second half of games, Ben, where they have given up leads in the third and fourth quarter after adjustments have been made that C.J. Stroud, unfortunately, did not adjust to. In this particular spot, they've had extra rest, right? They've had some time to work on some things. Mixon, Nico Collins look like they're going to be good to go here. And we've seen the Miami defense take a step back. You know what you haven't seen? Yeah. Take a step back. And the most consistent thing about this Texans team has been this defense and their ability to get after the quarterback. Tua is a different quarterback when he is under duress. He's going to be under duress a lot in this game here. The Texans are 11-2 against the number in the first half this year here, Ben. It's the best mark in the NFL next to the Detroit Lions. There is no way that they won't have the lead going into the break in this one. Now, whether they hold on to it in the second half is a different story, yeah. But I'm pretty confident at a pick'em price, I believe at home with extra rest, they will have a lead against this Dolphins defense going into the break.
Houston minus 138 on the money line for that first half number. If you want to lay the point and a half with Houston in the opening half, it's plus 100, not a bad look there either. Since Tua Tagovailoa returned from IR, the Dolphins have played 5 of 7 games to the over. 46.5 is that total. So from 1 p.m. Eastern time back to the 4:25 p.m. Eastern time window, a huge one at altitude with a Broncos and Colts team both coming off a bye. If anybody is going to catch Denver in that AFC playoff picture, it's either Miami most likely or Indianapolis. Huge game for the Colts on Sunday. Big game for the Broncos to maintain that advantage for a wild card spot in the AFC playoff picture. 3.5-point spread in favor of Denver, who as a favorite this year. Joe, when Denver has been expected to win a game, they do, and often comfortably. They are perfect, 6-0 against the spread as the favorite side this season.
Listen, Ben, to me, this is the my favorite over of the week at 44.5. You have got Richardson now coming off a bye. Looks like the offensive line getting a little healthier for Indy. This defense of Denver over the last couple of weeks has been getting absolutely torched. And Jameis, don't look any further than what Jameis Winston did. So both of these teams, two of the top four fastest paced teams in the NFL over the last 8 weeks. I think we're going to get a ton of points in this one, Ben. I think it's going to be a good old shootout there in Denver.
The Broncos had the second best scoring defense entering that matchup against Cleveland before their bye, but they've actually gone over in 10 of 13 games this season. More from the Sunday slate next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line, we continue our preview of the Week 15 NFL Sunday slate. It is a Football Friday across the Spiz Grizz Network. Next up, we look at some teams that are good versus other teams that, at least record-wise, not so great. Another compelling game for the Kansas City Chiefs that the odds makers expect, at least based on the initial number, not to be overwhelmingly dominant nor impressive for KC. The Chiefs, of course, are a 12-1 football team, but 10 of those 12 victories decided by just a single score. In fact, dating back to last year, the Chiefs are on a heater in single possession games. They have won 15 in a row, that by far an NFL record. But covering numbers is a different story. 4.5-point favorite for KC on Sunday in front of the Dog Pound in Cleveland, a Browns team that is not all that great this year, Joe. And you get the full Jameis Winston experience at times. But they have been known to play spoiler to a good team or two throughout this season in the land. Might they be able to keep this game close against the Chiefs on Sunday afternoon?
I absolutely think they can here, Ben. I mean, it's at some particular point here, it's not going to not going to doink the field goal off the post and win. It's not going to be where they fumble the ball or get a block kick or every other way that Kansas City has won games here. And listen, kudos to them because they find themselves playing very close games and they have the right personnel, the right coach, and the right belief that they can win every close game they're in. And that's saying something. Not a lot. You can't teach that, Ben. Either you have that or you don't have it, and the Chiefs have it. However, there is a spot here, I think, with Cleveland, and styles make fights here. I think this Cleveland defense has been better than they've been all year. They're healthier. Miles has absolutely been out of control. So is Ward in the secondary. If Kansas City is not, if they just play that, hey, let's just try to keep it close, they could be in trouble in this game with this defense on the road. So, yeah, I would only look at the dog in this one. And if I'm playing and taking the 4.5, I'm also putting a little something on the money line here. It would not shock me if Cleveland at home wins this game outright.
So the Chiefs did not cover last week, of course, as they clinched their 9th consecutive AFC West divisional crown against the LA Chargers. They were a 4.5-point favorite. Same exact number this week, albeit on the road against Cleveland. 6 times this year, the Chiefs have laid less than a touchdown. They are 4-2 against the spread. It's about the only redeeming quality of the Chiefs covering a number this season. The average victory margin for KC is 4.2 points per game. That is 11th best in the NFL, despite being tied for the best mark alongside Detroit. But somehow, some way, they often create new inventive ways to win football games. This one expected to be close. I will say this, the Chiefs have gone under in 3 of their last 4 games, all against divisional foes, though. The Broncos, the Raiders, the Chargers. They have gone over in their last 3 games against non-AFC West teams. Of course, the Browns reside in the AFC North. The largest spread that we have seen this season, the Baltimore Ravens, 16.5-point road favorite in MetLife against the New York Giants. Of course, the Ravens coming off a bye, looking to straighten things out as they make their playoff push to be a true contender in the AFC. The Giants are awful. Drew Lock more than likely is going to miss this game. Back to Tommy Cutlets for the Giants. Good luck, New York. That's about all I have to say.
Ben, this is so ridiculous, this line. I can't even begin to tell you. It is the 4th largest spread for a home underdog this century, Ben, this century.
Wow.
4th largest. And of course, it went through the roof once we learned that Tommy DeVito was going to be there. I mean, listen, Giants defense, middle of the road, right? And that's actually pretty impressive, especially when it gives up 2 points allowed. I mean, they have not quit. They have not rolled over. You're talking about an AFC versus NFC. All Baltimore needs to do is win this game. All.
Right.
Why in the world would I lay that point on the road with Lamar and company, where we've seen sometimes play down to their competition? Yeah. No, thanks. I'll take the points.
They have lost outright twice this year at more than a touchdown favorite against the Raiders and against the Cleveland Browns. I don't think they're going to lose outright. To win by 3 scores, that's a different story. Mike Lewitt joins us on a Football Friday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It would not be a Football Friday without Mike Blewett joining us here on the early line on SportsGrid. So thus, Mike Blewett is here. And it is a Football Friday in our 2nd hour on the Spiz Grizz Network. Big Blue, as always, we appreciate the time. Great seeing you on Tuesday night at the Sports Grid holiday party. We missed Joe Ranieri, but we had a blast. We look to do the same with all 3 of us here on a Football Friday on the early line.
Oh, yeah. Big party on Tuesday, Joe. You were missed, but it was good to see everybody in person all in one spot. Sports Grid kept running, thanks to Joe and Scott Wetzel and Dave Sharapan and other people out there. But as far as last night, As far as last night was concerned, clearly the weather had a huge impact. I think we saw, we had 10 punts in the first 20 minutes of that game. So not a lot of action, just traded field goals in the first half. I think you saw the weather obviously had a huge impact, but another thing about those two teams is they both struggle in the red zone. Problem for the Niners, they ran zero plays in the red zone last night, but the Rams struggled 0 for 3 in getting any touchdowns on the board. I think they've been underrated in terms of what the Rams have been able to do. I believe they've won 7 of 9 now, so they're on a really good run, and they're getting healthier. I think they're a team that could be interesting in the playoffs, if for no other reason that Stafford and those two wide receivers making it hell for the opposing defense. They just have to figure out a way to punch the ball into the end zone in order to be even more dangerous. But they're live for the division. They're live to win a playoff game. The Rams are really impressive, and the Niners, you can call it, if you hadn't already, you can call it a wrap on their season. Their upcoming schedule is even tougher than expected.
So I don't expect Seattle to go down without a fight here for that NFC West crown. What are the chances that, I mean, they're right now sitting with that with the lead. Does that change before the season's over, do you think? Do the Rams win the NFC West?
You have Seattle's upcoming games are the Packers, the Vikings, at the Bears, and then at the Rams. So count that Week 17 game, January 5th, to be a really important one. Obviously, excuse me, Week 18 game. And then the Rams had beat the Niners last night. They're at the Jets. What's up, Jets fans? You got Matt Stafford coming into town. And then home games against Arizona and Seattle. So catching a little bit of a break where they don't really have to travel after they get back from the Jets. So if I had to bet on it right now, just say who wins the division, I think the Rams caught a huge break getting that home game in Week 18. But Seattle's defense, Joe, has played a lot better in these last 6 weeks, and I think that will pace them the rest of the way. So it is a coin flip. Both teams are really interesting. The Rams, to me, are more dangerous in a playoff scenario because of that offense. But I think Seattle, week to week, I think they probably end up with more wins here down the stretch.
The Rams a shorter price to win the NFC by $1. The Rams a better price to win the NFC West by 10 cents only at minus 105 to Seattle's plus 105 number. The Seahawks a home underdog on Sunday night against Green Bay. If they were to lose that game, as the odds makers anticipate, even with a very short spread, tied at the top, LA would have that direct head-to-head tiebreak advantage, at least for the moment, in a division that could come down to that regular season finale, week number 18. Blue, let's go to the 4:25 p.m. Eastern time window on Sunday. Marquee matchups dot the slate in week 15, especially in that later afternoon portion. A game of the year potential, game of the year 5 in the Motor City. Two of the four best prices to win Super Bowl 59 at this moment. The Lions, the favorite. Fourth best number for Buffalo. A 2.5-point spread in favor of Detroit. Total stands at 54.5. It would be the highest number of the year if that's where it remains by the time we get to kick on Sunday. Short number, competitive game expected, and a lot of points is our thought entering Sunday in Detroit. Blewett, will the game live up to the hype?
I believe it will. And I think everybody would be excited if we blow past that 54.5. But I don't expect that. I think we can come really close. But I think I expect what we've seen in a lot of Bills games this year, which is a slower start, a lower scoring first quarter. I don't think the teams come out of the gate scoring touchdowns, running up and down the field. I think an interesting number, by the way, is the second quarter total, which is 16.5 right now. It's being bet to the over, so find the best price that you can. And I think that's something where these teams are checking each other early, not unlike a lot of playoff games, and then the offenses ease into it. I'm not going to step in front of the Lions at home when they're laying less than a field goal, and it's been a really difficult travel scenario for the Bills, right? They had to go to L.A. where we put up 100 points, and now they're back inside. Good for them, but in Detroit, taking on a team that really takes advantage of these conditions. So I would lay the 2.5 because I think the Lions get the win, and I'm under on this game.
What does it say about the Bills' future if they lose another game on the road? They got three losses. All three are on the road here. They go on the road again and lose here. What are we doing here with this Bills team here? If they lose this game and the Lions win like you think it is, what is the ceiling really for the Bills? Is it just the AFC East Championship?
I don't think that's fair, but I know what you're driving at, especially if the Steelers rip off a few wins here to close out the season, they might end up as the 2 seed, right? The Bills 2 seed or even 1 seed conceivably is on the line if Kansas City falters here late. But this to me looks like the best version of the Bills. That LA spot was a very tough one for them.
Right.
And I don't really criticize them that much. Other than the positives we've seen from the defense did not show up in L.A., we'd probably want to see a little bit more of that now that Matt Milano is back in the lineup every week. We'd probably want to see a little bit more from the defense to get Micah Hyde back for, said he's going to retire as a Bill, so he's going for his last run. So they have veteran leadership here, which I like on this team, and I do think they remain dangerous. But I think you bring up a fair point, Joe, in saying like, all right, well, they're going to have to go on the road in Kansas City again. And is it just the same old thing where they just drop a road game because it's too cold out, or they can't get off to a good start, or they don't have their home crowd behind them? I mean, these are all fair questions to ask. But to me, this is the most dangerous that the Bills have looked from time at an 11-6 record versus a 13-3 record, 13-4 record does not change my opinion drastically of who they are.
This will be the fifth consecutive year that Buffalo has won the AFC East in the previous four. The last three, they have been bounced in the divisional round. They have reached the AFC Championship just once. They have been bounced from the postseason by the Chiefs in three of the previous four seasons. That is where Buffalo changes its narrative, as Mike Blewett alluded to. Blue, let's get to the in-state showdown, the Keystone Clash on Sunday in Philly. It's the Eagles and your Steelers. 5.5-point spread in favor of the Birds. Total stands at 42.5. Also in that 4:25 p.m. Eastern time window in a monumental matchup. How do you see it playing out?
So this is an ideal spot to bet on the Steelers, right? Catching 5.5 points. This is where Tomlin thrives. Even if they're not able to win the game, you'd think that the Steelers are able to keep it close. They're going to be really challenged, obviously, this week. This is a very difficult spot. But we're going to see, I think, a real test for the Steelers in that they have allowed the fourth least yards in the NFL rush to their opponents. So can they really step up and stop this rushing attack? Because Philly's passing attack was broken last week and has been broken for a while. So it's good against good when it comes to this. I'll take the points here, though.
Yes, it certainly is. We'll talk to quarterbacks in a couple of other matchups on the Sunday slate in just a moment. As Football Friday continues, Mike Blewett up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So many marquee games in that 4:25 p.m. Eastern time window. We talked about the game of the year five potential in Detroit, Lions and the Bills. We're talking about the Keystone Clash in Philly between the Eagles and the Steelers, live right here on a Football Friday on the early line on Sports Grid. But we talked about the number, right? The Steelers, a 5.5-point road dog. Feels like a ripe time for a Pittsburgh team, 11-6 against the spread as a road underdog since 2022 to at least keep the game close. I want to talk to you about the 42.5, which is the over-under. Is it light? Is it fair? Two of the top five scoring defenses in the NFL, and how it pertains, Mike Blewett, to our quarterback comparison on Sunday. Jalen Hurts and a Philly passing attack that has been inept the last few weeks, and Russell Wilson perhaps without George Pickens. How do the Steelers get it done offensively to keep this game within striking distance?
So I think what you're seeing from the Steelers, and Pickens not being there is a huge blow. I think it's probably impacted the total to some extent. And if you're asking me if this game is over or under, I would say under. I could see a 20-17 game here. Does Philly really force it to A.J. Brown to try to appease him in the way that we saw at the beginning of the game last night, at least with Deebo Samuel, who's expressed some unhappiness with the offense? A.J. Brown obviously expressing that in Philly, despite the fact that they're winning games, he wants the ball. I understand it to some extent, but come on, you're 11-2. What are we doing? So I think the Pickens thing is obviously going to keep the scoring down, in my opinion. Now, what you'll see from the Steelers is, I thought you saw a lot of it last week. They're happy to use Najee Harris in the passing game as well as running the ball as effectively as they can. Something I've been looking for them as a fan, looking for them to do for some time, is try to get Pat Freiermuth involved more in the offense. And I think you saw some key targets for him during the last couple of weeks. But that does not scream explosive, right? This is fighting fire with fire, and the Steelers trying to control the ball and keep it out of Philly's hands so they don't run off 8-minute touchdown drives, which is their specialty. So I think you see a lot of that. That's what keeps the scoring down for me, is longer possessions, the team's running the ball. And if the Steelers aren't effective against that Philly front, I'm curious to see what their counter move is. Is it more Freiermuth? Is it Najee in the passing game? Is it Jaylen Warren? Because I don't know that Calvin Austin or Van Jefferson are scary threats in the passing game.
It's interesting. If you had to bet in the prop market here between Russ or Jaylen, who's got more passing yards, you think, when it all comes down to it? And quite honestly, can we trust Russell Wilson if he's got to drop back and throw it 30 times in this game?
Yeah, I think your anytime interception is an interesting number for Russ. As you said, Joe, if they are trailing and the Steelers are forced to throw, especially if they're down, say, multiple scores, and the Steelers are forced to throw, you get a little worried about. And it's not just Russell Wilson. It is the available options that they have in the passing offense. The two guys I just mentioned, Calvin Austin has some nice explosive plays from time to time, but there's no consistency in it. Van Jefferson shows up on the stat sheet once in a while, a random touchdown last week. But I think I bet Russell to beat Jalen Hurts in passing yards. I just think they're going to have to lean on it a little bit more in a game like this. I expect Philly to potentially win this game, but 5.5 is too many for me. Like I said, I see like a 20-17 score. So I would bet on Russell to have more passing yards. I know, obviously, his number is slightly higher, but it's even pinched a little bit closer than it this morning than the stat board that we just showed. So it's really kind of a coin flip on who has more pass yards, but I would bet on Russell.
All right, let's keep it going around this NFL Sunday slate in Week 15. The Commanders, a 7.5-point favorite in New Orleans. Washington fresh off the bye. 8-5 football team. The Saints are going to be starting Jake Haener with the injured Derek Carr now on the shelf. 43.5 blue is that total in the Big Easy on Sunday. Will the Commanders roll? Can the Saints keep it close? They have won 3 of 4 with the interim head man in Darren Rizzi.
Come on, guys. I mean, it's not happening for the Saints this week. I get that 7.5 is a lot. And Joe, you and I are going to be talking about this. If the Saints score first, big live betting opportunity for the Commanders. Mm-hmm. They're coming off a bye. They desperately need this win. I'm trying not to be influenced myself because I have the Saints under their win total for the year. But I just don't think they get this. That Giants game was gross. One of the worst games we've watched this year. Luckily, the Titans and Jaguars were on at the same time, so they overshadowed how bad the Giants-Saints game was. But I think this is an opportunity for an alternate spread here for the Commanders. You can get -9.5. It goes up to, and you can get plus money. So I'd be looking at something like that. I think the Commanders get a 10-point win or more.
Do we trust Arizona, Blewett? to get it done against New England? Because I certainly don't.
I don't. That game against that game last week was just, I think it changes your whole opinion of them, right? We had been backing them, Joe, really on the show on Sundays, talking about them consistently and how they're playing hard. The defense is getting better. And then it just all falls apart. I just don't know if a team like New England has enough fight left in it for the rest of the year. Release KJ Osborne. There's just a lot of things surrounding the team that make me worry that they are now playing out this string. The good news is they have an energetic young quarterback, and maybe he can make some plays. 6.5 is too many, though. I think that's what you're driving at. It's too many. I think you take advantage of New England here to keep it close. And again, live betting opportunities there. If New England scores first, you can get Arizona at a shorter number than laying a full touchdown.
As we would have expected, the Pats have been an underdog in every game this year. They started 1-6 against the number. Now they are 4-2 against the spread so far this season. We've got three more games of our 13 from Sunday to break down for you. We will do so next to round out the Sunday slate here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're going to see the caption for this game. Is it correct in terms of its headline? That's what we have to ask to Mike Blue. We've got three more games on this NFL Sunday slate to wrap up. We will do so here to end out the second hour. Not done yet is how we are billing the Bengals and the Titans in Nashville. Tennessee is done. They have been eliminated from AFC playoff contention. The Bengals mathematically have not. But at 5-8, Blue, we would expect they would have to win their final four in a row, make it five straight after the victory on Monday in Dallas to end out this year. So will the Bengals do that, and might they cover against the Tennessee Titans on Sunday?
I like the Bengals here. 46.5. The Bengals are going to have to do a lot of heavy lifting to get there because I don't think Tennessee can help them anymore. The game the other day, the interesting thing about that game is how short it was. Remember, Joe, we were tracking the first half was over in an hour, and the game was done in 2 hours and 40 minutes against the Jags. Tennessee plays a lot of short games. They're punting the ball quite a bit. They don't have a dynamic passing offense. They have a ton of penalties. The only reason their games go long at all is they commit a ton of penalties. And I think the Bengals are the team that everybody's been talking about, frankly. They have a dangerous offense. Their defense can't get it done, but against a team like this, I think they do get it done. Obviously, we don't love to lay points on the road, but I think this number is too light, and I think you just lay the points here and look for Cincinnati's team total over, which is sitting right now at 26.5. So I think they can get to 27. A 27-10, 27-17 victory keeps you under, they cover, and you get the Bengals total.
What are we expecting from the Cowboys, Blew It? I mean, they invent ways to lose games, which is great. But they are certainly have been playing better football, but so is Carolina. So who do we trust in this game?
So it's fascinating, right, in you saying that they invent ways to lose games. It's true. The only other time I've seen something like that happen, that happened on Monday, was the Cowboys on that Thanksgiving Day game when Leon Lett slid in the snow. And it's literally the only other time I've seen that something like that happen. Just don't touch the ball, and we're going to win. And they did it about 30 years apart. So in terms of their chances to win this week, it's a great landing spot for them, I suppose. Cooper Rush has been good at times, but Bryce Young's transformation this year is probably one of the cool second-tier stories in the NFL this year, right? People were ready to cast him aside, and Carolina's going to have to draft somebody again, but he's played pretty well. Since he came back, he's been good. I think Carolina is a far more energized team now than the Cowboys. You see Micah Parsons is upset. They lose to Marion Overshone for the season. In fact, he might be out for all of next season as well based on the severity of their injury, which is awful for him because he's shown to be a really impactful player. I can't believe the Panthers are laying points to the Cowboys, but this is where we are in the season. And I just don't know if the Cowboys have anything left. And if they continue to play like this and make mistakes like that and drop a game here, I think it does start to change. I think it does start to cement Mike McCarthy's fate if they don't win this game. Mm.
Listen, we buried the lead in this game, gents. This is the first time since the end of 2022, 33 consecutive games, that Carolina will be booked as a favorite, snapping that 33-game skid, if you will, or streak, booked as an underdog. They have covered in their last five games entering Dallas, not mathematically eliminated. In fact, the only game on Sunday that features a matchup of two teams that are already out of playoff contention is in Jacksonville. The Jags host the Jets. 3.5-point spread in favor of Gangrene. Total 40.5. Blewett, I am making you give us a pick for this bottom feeder battle. Which way do you go?
I think you're crazy to bet on either team at this point. Seriously. The Jets.
What I asked, Mike.
Joe said.
Yeah.
Joe said the Cowboys invent ways to lose. The Jets are right there. The Jets are right there with inventing ways to lose and throwing 98, 92-yard pick sixes to defensive linemen to swing games. If you made me pick a team, I would lay the points with the Jets. I think the Jags have nothing left. They can't really run an offense at all. But my favorite bet in this game would be the Jags team total under 18.5. If Aaron Rodgers keeps it clean, I think the Jags will not get to 19 points.
I don't know how they would with Mac Jones still starting a football game. They won last week in Nashville with 10 big ones. Mike Blewett, we'll see you Sunday. Thanks for being here. Hour number three is up next.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.